The enemy many times attacks your assignment because he knows that your fulfilling of your assignment, a lot of people are going to be set free.
You have an important calling on your life that only you can accomplish. On today's Believer's Voice of Victory, join John Copeland and Bill Winston as they share how to know God's voice and fulfill everything you are meant to do. Now here's John.
Hello and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm John Copeland. I'm filling in for my father this week. And I have a very special guest this week, Pastor Bill Winston.
Pastor, God, honored
to have you here.
Good to be
such
here.
A blessing to be around him because he always lifts my vision and my sights about what I'm supposed to do, about what, you know, God's called me to do. You know, we live in a kingdom. We live in God's kingdom. If you've been born again, then you're part of God's kingdom. Now, we live in this world, but we're not of this world.
Correct.
And so what that means is that we live here, but we don't have to operate the way the world operates, the way the Babylonian Empire, which would be our governments and so forth, the way they operate. We operate and we should operate the way God's kingdom wants to run, the way God designed it to run. And if we operate the way God designed it to run, then we're going to be victorious and blessed, and we're going to rule and reign in this earth. And so that's what this week is called, Training to Reign. And, you know, we're talking about living your life without limits. And so, you know, Pastor, what you shared yesterday kind of given us an understanding of that there is a kingdom, and that the kingdom of God, yes, there is a kingdom of God.
Yes.
As we have known it traditionally for years, but also the kingdom of God is inside us. And we're part of that kingdom of God.
What a revelation.
And so I want you, you know, just go into what you have today because we want to get deeper into this.
I'm looking at this John chapter 18, and in John chapter 18 and verse 36, and Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." Now that is a powerful, powerful statement because now he's being challenged about this kingdom, but he said, "My kingdom." So Jesus is the king of this kingdom. Now, when he says this, over in Daniel chapter 2, it was asked about this Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And in that dream, he dreamed that it was a statue that had a head of gold and arms and breast of silver and then belly and thighs of brass and then legs of iron and then feet of iron and clay. And all of these represented different kingdoms, the Babylonian being the first, which is the head of gold. But it represents a dictatorship. And then you come down to the next kingdom there, and it represents a certain type of government, all the way down to the kind of government we have now. But the government of the kingdom is that theocracy. It's that one God governing. Now, as he governs, he has pretty much laid out the lifestyle, the way we live, the laws of that kingdom, so forth and so on, the principles. Now, it's up to the church to take those principles to the world. Any part of the world that's suffering is suffering because kingdom principles have not been introduced and operating in that world. Because in the kingdom, nobody starves. So we are now bringing a new kingdom as a church. We're bringing a new kingdom to every place we go, that any place that's out of line with kingdom principles and kingdom laws, the church's job is to bring it back in line. Now, understand, we're not doing this except by his grace and by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. So there are things where people have hate, we bring love. And sometimes we think that hate is stronger than love, but it's not. That there's nothing in the world that's stronger than the things in the kingdom. So in the world, for example, that people might say, "Well, I want to get revenge," or it might be that they have darkness. Well, light is always stronger than dark. Darkness can't take out light. Light can take out darkness. So any of these things, the honesty, integrity, and love, they'll always win out. And what happens, because our minds hadn't been trained to that, sometimes we think if we're going to be honest, we're going to lose out. Mm-hmm. But that's not true. That the kingdom culture will always dominate the world culture, because the world is an inferior culture. This is a superior system. So he is saying here, my kingdom is not of this world. And what he was teaching his disciples as they went along is the kingdom and how it operated. The kingdom of God is like a seed, whatever have you. Even when you see in Mark chapter 4 where Jesus took the disciples and said, let's go to the other side. Well, in going to the other side, they ran up on a storm. And that storm was out to sink that boat. Mm-hmm. Now, Jesus was asleep on a pillow. Now, I've been there before, because that's a Holy Ghost sleep, you know. I was in Africa one time, and the guy told me, I was in one part of Africa, and he said, in Kampala there, and he said, I thought we were going to have the meeting there in the city. He said, Pastor, we'll get up early in the morning, and we'll go out to the site that we're going to be staying for a week. I said, okay, we're not going to be staying in the city? He said, no, sir, we're going to be staying a little ways out. So we got in the car. We finally got in the car. He had this small car, and so I rented a van, and we got in there and loaded equipment. We took 8 hours and got out to this place, back in the bush.
I'm sure the roads were really
good. Man, I'm telling you. And you had to watch it, too, because there are people. I mean, we had to have a police escort on some of that, because there are people who are trying to gangster you, you know? I mean, they're trying to hold you up or whatever. But anyway, we finally got out there. I guess it was called Americana Hotel or something. It had 4 rooms in the whole hotel. And I got in this room. And the room had no pane in the window. It had the opening, but there was no screen, no glass, no nothing. I said, man, now, I heard there was malaria out in these parts. I'm telling you, John, I believe the mosquitoes were so big they could carry your luggage for you. You follow what I'm saying. And now, I'm supposed to sleep at night. See, this is why I know Jesus. See, this is an anointing here that had him sleep. That God gives his beloved sleep. So I got out there, and they had a net over the bed so that mosquitoes, of course, wouldn't bite you. But I laid down, and the enemy put in my mind, well, here comes a snake. He's coming through that window. And you may as well send your saddle home, because you're history now. You
Black mama's coming through, right?
Right, just write out a note. So what did I do? I'm telling you. I said, Lord, now you're going to have to keep me. And I went to that scripture that the Lord gives his beloved sleep. I began to meditate that scripture. Slept like a baby that night, slept the next night. Now, I was glad to get out of there. We finally left. But he's asleep on a pillow. But where was he going? If you look at that Mark chapter 4, other little ships were behind him. And they tell me that word is apostolos, having to do with an admiral leading other battleships to battle. And that it was going over to take over another land, going over to bring something to another land, to bring that other land under subjection. And he was going. He's, let us go to the other side. So that was their assignment. And the enemy many times attacks your assignment, because he knows that your fulfilling of your assignment, a lot of people are going to be set free. And so what happened is they got in the middle of that storm and Jesus was asleep. And they said, accused him, said, you know, don't you even care about us? And he woke up, not responding to them, but rebuked the wind, said to the sea, peace be still. And there was a great calm. Then he turned to them and said, now, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? So in operating in the kingdom of God, God is going to send us to places that we are to express the kingdom culture in those places. But sometimes on the way, the enemy tries to hold us up, tries mm-hmm. to impede our progress some kind of way. And that's where faith and the Word of God come into being, right there. We got to know it. We got to speak it. And I was talking to some people, and we're doing some ministering now in another small town, another city. I won't call the name. But one of our churches is there. And right now, they are walking and speaking blessings every Saturday. And the place is changing. Mm-hmm.
Like walking around town and doing that?
That's exactly right. Businesses are starting to come in. Now, isn't that just how he said in Ezekiel chapter... Well, let's go back to it. Let's go to Ezekiel and Ezekiel chapter 33. Now, I'm saying this because a lot of... chapter 36, pardon me. A lot of times in this kingdom, we are thinking about the flesh doing something. But once you come into the kingdom, toil goes away. There is no more toil. See, God didn't quit because he was tired. Quit because he's finished. Mm-hmm. And there is no toil. Once in the kingdom, there is no guesswork. I wonder what this answer. There is no guesswork. That God, any man likes wisdom, let him ask of God. So, dealing on that other level, you're not fatigued all the time. And in just speaking like that, just think about it. I'm walking around, and I'm speaking to ruined places. I'm just speaking to them. Now, what am I doing? Declaring the blessing. What is the blessing? It's powerful enough to change a place that's ruined into Eden. And it just speaking this then. Now, I'm talking about the power of the kingdom because mm-hmm. we're going to deal with this word church here so we can see what that is, because it's not four walls. It's a people. And so dealing with that. But look what it says here, starting in verse 33. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, wherein as it lay desolate in the sight of all that pass by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places, and I plant that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Notice what he does. He watches over his word and makes it good.
You know what I'm seeing when you're reading that is, particularly in our economic times that our nation's in,
yep.
and the majority of the world is in,
exactly,
is that there's towns that have shrunken,
absolutely,
dried up. Maybe there was a factory in that town
yep.
that closed up. Now there's no jobs in that town. In the city, and there's actually towns that are dying. This is the answer for that.
This is the answer.
We're looking for revitalization in
there
areas. That's a key word today, a
there
buzzword.
That's exactly
revitalization
right.
and things. And I've seen a lot of successful places
yep.
do that,
yep.
and cities do that.
Yep.
But this is the answer. When there is no answer, this is the answer.
This is the government revitalization program, the government of God.
And you're saying the church.
The church.
The church.
We are the arms and legs of Jesus, and we walk around and we speak these things, and they are speaking them and watching new businesses start coming into those areas.
So churches in that town don't have to just sit there and take that.
That is exactly right, John.
They can turn that town around themselves.
Absolutely.
If they do what the church is supposed to do in the kingdom.
But unless the kingdom is preached, it's hard to get here. Because if your denomination...
You can't just walk around and shout at stuff think it's going to happen.
You just... Because many times one denomination's fighting another. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Know all of that. But once in the kingdom, then the focus becomes higher, rather than your denomination, my denomination, and so forth.
You know, that's something that I think that in being part of the kingdom, I don't, you know, apart from me in my job and what I do and even outside my job, it's when I hear somebody's doing something, like say you're starting a business. And I immediately start thinking of, who can I put him with? How can I help him do what he's supposed to do?
Exactly.
Without any kind of 3% commission or finder's fee or any of that. I don't even think about that. All I think about is there something that God's given me an ability to help him do what he's called to do?
And we all supposed to be tied together like that.
But you know, the churches, I've seen many, many times where there's a church in a town and somebody else is going to put in another church. You're and they raise up in arms about it. They get mad.
You're trying to steal my members.
Yeah, you're going to steal my members, and it's all about their source is the people.
It's about me.
And it's not God, and they're not kingdom-minded.
That is, there you go.
Kingdom-minded says you could never have too many churches.
There you go.
Let's put 10 of them on
there
the street.
There you go. See, it's places that you can't take a person except the paradigm shift to a kingdom-minded person. And once that happens, now, but think about it now, you being able to speak things just right into existence. Look at Isaiah 51.
You know, that answers the, you know, whole answer about the biggest, the main commandment is to walk in love.
That's correct.
But if you're kingdom-minded, it makes it a lot easier to walk in love, doesn't it? Particularly with your Christian brothers.
With Christian brothers. Mm. Makes no difference. But look what it says here. This is Isaiah and 51 and verse 16. I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of my hand. Why? That I may plant the heavens. And lay the foundations of the earth and say to Zion, thou art my people. So God puts his words in our mouth so that we can plant the heavens. That what's in heaven, he wants on earth. Pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, in heaven, there's no ruined cities. There's no people starving. There's no folks trying to get work, no work, so forth and so on. Well, we can create that. We can rearrange the earth. This is the power of the church. Very, very powerful people. You know, I often tell people, I say, well, who do you think we are? And the idea about it is we're in this world, but we are not of this world. And that's what it says over here. Let me just turn you one more, John, over here to John and John chapter 17. We should have covered that while we were there. But John chapter 17, okay? We are not marked, I like what Brother Jerry said, we are not marked by this world's boundaries. Look what it says here in verse 14. He says, I've given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We are in this thing. Once we get born again, we have been born from above. That's what it says over in John 3:3 in the Greek. We have been born from above. So we're not of this world. Now, our flesh may look like this world, but inside, there is a person in there, and that person didn't come from here. That's a brand new person. Now they have new limits that the people here don't have. So what we can do is speak words that God would watch over the word and make it good. So we're blessed. That's blessed. Phew, blessed. Speak this thing here. We're doing some rebuilding now in terms of Tuskegee in the airport out there, trying to do some rebuilding out there. And what is happening is each morning they've been walking the runway, blessing. And now all of a sudden traffic's been coming in. Now understand, thing was barren.
Give me some examples. Like, so for people that maybe want to pray over their town.
Yes, indeed.
bless their town.
Yes, or indeed.
Bless what it is they're sure talking is. About. Can you tell me what bless, when you say they bless
they,
it?
They speak life over it. Father, I just pray and thank you now for people in this home right here that are loving people, that love God and so forth and so on. Father, I just thank you now in this block. Everybody has jobs and everyone is working, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that this barren piece of property out here with these crack houses out here, Lord, we thank you now that these are rebuilt, Lord, and families are in them, Lord, and so forth. Yeah, just like that.
Just speak what
and
you
And they normally
God
go out
for.
Two by two because they agree and work the law of the kingdom. So what are they doing? They're turning ruined places into the garden.
Now, do you think some people might criticize that?
Well,
and make fun of that?
They would make fun of it, but nobody can deny the results. This is what they did. They laughed at Jesus. But
that's what
when
I'm
Lazarus
saying,
came out of that grave, I'm
people
telling you.
People will talk and say, you're crazy. What are you out there talking to that empty land for?
You know what I think.
But the results speak
the
for themselves.
The results speak. People laughed at me with this mall. I mean, what did they do?
I said, a lot of people may not know you bought a mall.
Yeah,
in Chicago,
okay. In Forest Park, yeah. And we've got another one now in Tuskegee. But we, in Forest Park, I was believing God for that mall because God spoke it to my heart. He said, I want you to buy that mall at the church. Well, okay, I started believing for it. And the word got around that I was believing for this big mall in Forest Park. Well, now, first of all, it's too big, you know, for a church, you know. And so I went to get a haircut at the barbershop. And let me tell you, I was sitting down in a chair, minding my own business, and I had, newspaper, something, just trying to look at the sports headline and so forth. And one of the barbers sounded off on me. He said, well, Reverend, I heard you trying to buy that mall down there. And I looked up and he was winking at the other barbers. You know what I mean? So they had been talking about me all the time. But they're not talking about me anymore.
No.
Me and they're saying, how did you all do that? But I'm saying, what? The blessing. My Lord, I had to take things and call things.
I think a lot of us, we get stuck because we feel like, I can't see how that would happen.
There you go.
I can't see how I'd have a mall or how this town's going to come alive again.
Yep.
You don't need to see it. God sees it. All you need to do is speak to it, and He'll do the rest. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Confession is considered admitting to something, but for the believer, confession is the way we draw from heaven to change the earth. Confession is speaking God's word in faith. The law of confession is a spiritual law designed to equip you with the ability to use your words as a creative force to speak God's plan into existence. Dr. Bill Winston's book, The Laws of Confession, teaches you how to make the words of your mouth a creative force that will make God's blessing a reality in your life and establish His kingdom on earth. We are created to reign and have dominion. However, with that power comes great responsibility. Dr. Winston's book, Training for Reigning, reveals the keys to releasing your potential and establishing a lifestyle of no limits. Discover how to harness the power of your potential and place a demand on the promise within you. Together, the laws of confession and training for reigning are the Unleashing Your Potential package. It's time to expose who you really are. Order the Unleashing Your Potential package today at a special 30% savings. This essential package for the new year includes two books by Bill Winston, The Law of Confession and Training for Reigning, both for just $20. For additional product discounts and 48-hour processing, order the Unleashing Your Potential package online at kcm.org or call toll-free 800-600-7395. For these and other ministry resources from Kenneth Copeland, go to kcm.org.
Unleashing Your Potential package. We got Training for Reigning, which we've been discussing this week, and it's about living your life without limits, and the Law of Confession. But, you know, Pastor, tell me about these books and why you think this is going to help somebody's life.
Well, the church, for the most part, I think, has not been operating at the level of the church's potential. And the Word of God in the mouth of the believer
is about the strongest thing that can happen in this earth. If it can stop a storm, cut down a fig tree, cause a man to come to life who'd been dead 4 days and stinking, that's what we need to know. And we need to be trained so that we can reign in this earth.
So you need to get these books and get more in depth into it, because there's not enough time here in this little bit of time on the broadcast to get all that. So I want you to think about starting your year with that. So you can go online, be the fastest way to get it, to get your package. And mom and dad, they got a meeting coming up in Vancouver, BC, Canada, for the Vancouver Victory Campaign, celebrating 35 years in Canada. Hallelujah, all you Canucks up there, you need to get in that meeting. And anybody up in the north, Seattle area, come up to that meeting. Then we have the Southwest Believers Convention, July 4th through the 9th here in Fort Worth, Texas. It's our biggest convention of the year. We have a lot of fun in that convention. Like to see you there again, Pastor.
Amen.
In 2011, the Lord told my dad, what you compromise to keep, you will lose. He's told me that all my life as well, is whatever you compromise to keep, you're going to lose. And so you need to immerse yourself in the Word of God, get more in depth where you can understand and walk in the blessing and be a part of the kingdom of God the way He wants you to be. So for more information on these meetings, you can just go to kcm.org. So this is Bill Winston and John Copeland reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For today's broadcast on DVD or CD, our product offer, or for more information on KCM, visit kcm.org. Online, you'll find free ministry resources to help you live every day in faith. Receive God's promise that everything is going to be all right. Come to these exciting meetings. Join us for the Words of His Power Conference, Thursday to Sunday, the 10th through 13th of February at Words of Life Fellowship Church, North Miami Beach, Florida. You're invited to join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for the Branson Victory Campaign, the 3rd through 5th of March at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland will be in Langley, British Columbia for the Canada Victory Campaign, celebrating 35 years in Canada, May 12th through 14th at the Langley Event Center. The Southwest Believers Convention will be held the 4th through 9th of July, 2011 at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. The Copelands welcome you the 10th through 12th of November to the 2011 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. For more information on these and other KCM meetings, call 800-600-7395. That's 800-600-7395. Or visit our website at kcm.org. No matter where you are, if you have internet access, you are seconds away from life-changing answers, thanks to the power of search at kcm.org. It's easy. Just find this keyword search block, enter a word, speaker name, topic, or scripture. Search gives you instant 24/7 access to more than 40 years of revelation and inspiration from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Try keyword search today at kcm.org. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
If you don't have understanding, the enemy will try to deceive you. He'll try to steal everything you've got.